My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. It won't be any surprise to you, but a pleasure, I hope, to know that present in person are John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. There seem to be quite a lot of places named in our programme this week. Virginia, County Down, Devon, others. And first, a much-celebrated river. John, identification, please.
Rio Grande, they dance no saraband.
Yes, the Rio Grande.
By Constant Lambert, who was not only a composer, not only a conductor, but also a rather good critic.
Mm.
Used to write for a paper called The Sunday Referee. And sometimes he came out with marvellous things. Donald Francis Tovey, the analyst, used to write a piece every now and again, and he got Casals to play his cello concerto. And I remember that Lambert said, "The first movement lasted almost as long as my first term at school."
Terribly upper. Constant Lambert's the Rio Grande. Yes, words eventually, though we didn't hear them by Sir Cheverel Sitwell. Frank, see if you can recognise one spoken word by an actor who often sang. If you're ready, it's a four-letter word, only when he says it, it's a three-letter word.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
Get him?
It's in Mark Antony's speech in Julius Caesar. Friends, Romans and countrymen.
Yes.
Lend me your...
Yes. And the actor in that case was...
The actor sounded like Stanley Holloway.
Yes, he was Stanley Holloway.
What he was doing in Julius Caesar.
That's right, yeah. It comes actually... Well, he was in Hamlet, wasn't he? He was one of the gravediggers.
Yes.
It comes at the start of his story about Evings Dog Hospital.
Evings wasn't always in the dog trade. But what do it matter? Anything Evings turns his hand to, he'd make a do of it.
Frank, how's your dog world getting on?
How's what?
Your dog world.
My dog world's getting on very well. We have the extremely beautiful poodle and the scrap of anonymous black stuff who's called Battersea for obvious reasons. Called Lady Battersea, actually, to give her confidence.
Oh, good. Ian, I think you'll know the singer. She has one of the loveliest voices. You might identify the composer, too, I don't know. The song dates from 1902.
Yes, I think I can almost certainly identify the singer, and John gave me a very good visual clue which confirmed my own impression that it was the splendid Jesse Norman.
What on earth did he do as a visual clue? Jesse?
Well, he indicated that Jesse Norman is one of those people in life built for comfort rather than speed.
Ah, yes, that's it, yes. Did you spot the composer?
No.
No, it was Mahler, Gustav Mahler, from one of the Rückert Lieder.
I thought it was a lead of some kind.
Yes, got
that's as far as I was prepared to go.
Little Mariner told me he was once with Jesse, and they had a concert fairly soon, and he said, "I don't think I'm going to eat. Are you?" "No, no, no." He said, "I think I'll just have a yogurt. I'll just nip into this store and get one." And so when he was halfway across, Jesse rolled down the window, and she said, "Neville, 3 dozen.
Yes. Right, Dennis, it's nice to hear from you at this stage of the...
I have no Jesse Norman stories to offer. I've got no fat opposite.
You're going to hear, Dennis, part of the verse of an Irving Berlin song. I want to know, please, who is the singer, and can you pick up the next line after the record stops?
I haven't any gold to leave when I grow old. Somehow it passed me by. And though I'm poor, but still, I leave a precious will when I must say goodbye.
Yes, I leave the sunshine, yes, to the flowers. I leave the springtime to the tree.
To the yes, tree.
Not a lot of tune the... there, is yeah. there?
It is.
Lovely yeah. diction.
Oh,
who
yes.
was the singer?
Yes, that
sounds
is
like
unmistakably Cavan O'Connor.
Cavan O'Connor, it O'Connor, was, yes. When I Leave the World Behind. Songs starting with when. I've always been partial to an old song called When Thy Bosom Heaves a Sigh. I wonder what the next line was. When thy bosom heaves a sigh...
It sometimes hits a passerby.
Right. 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 Steve turns over page and asks, John, what in a musical connection is registration?
Registration is the particular stops
yeah.
that you use if you're playing the organ or the harpsichord.
Yes, stops or combinations. Absolutely so. Frank, where might you find a butt and a tub?
Good question.
Thank you.
A butt and a bin, I could do you. That's a Clara Butt and Benjamin Britten.
Oh, well, yeah, butt and a bin. Butt and a tub. You've got Clara Butt. What about tub? Frank, John can help
tub
you.
Tub, I can't help you with.
She was a lovely soprano called yes. Carrie Tubb.
Carrie
she
tub.
Was very big, and we're going to have a lot of
no.
vulgar
no, jokes. What was incredible about her was that when I last saw her, she was 100.
Yes.
And as neat and
spry.
You know, bouncing as ever.
Spry, right. You'd find them on an old concert
program. Yes.
Dame Clara Butt and Carrie Tubb. Ian, Sir Henry Wood wrote that at a 1906 concert, he conducted a certain composer's three overtures, Polonia, Christopher Columbus, and Rule Britannia. And I quote, he conducted them for the first and, I trust, the last time. Who was the composer so denigrated by Sir Henry?
But I think we can dispose of this very quickly.
Oh. Mm, right.
I don't know.
Well, I tell you, the composer in question had whole prom evenings to himself through the great Henry Wood years.
Was it a Wagner?
It was Wagner, yes. There were three very early works by Richard Wagner. Dennis, again, I quote, playing music puts a gentleman in a very frivolous, contemptible light. Few things would mortify me more than to see you bearing a part in a concert with a fiddle under your chin. Who, writing to whom, Dennis, and roughly when?
Well, the style is
yes.
That kind of admonitory tone.
That's right.
It sounds like Lord Chesterfield.
Yes, writing to?
Writing to his son, who yes. got a lot of advice.
Yes, in the mid... which century?
Is it 18th century?
Yeah, mid-18th century. How much notice did his son take of all the good advice?
Ask Frank.
Yeah.
None at all.
He married
a plain girl of low birth.
There we turn to people and places. John, this is a jazz pianist who specialises in teasing the listener with a weird, wonderful and wayward introduction, and then he launches into a thoroughly familiar tune. I want to ask, please, who's the pianist and what's the name of the place? Avalon, that's right.
Or alternatively, da dee da dee dee da da
dee da dee da. Giovanni Lestella, yes. Did you recognise the pianist just for interest?
It sounded a bit like, now what is that chap?
The man with the left
Turner?
Hand.
Turner? No, the one who does the sort of Schoenberg-y things.
Well, he does the left hand thing.
Oh, Garner?
He plays a... the left hand. Errol Garner.
That's what I said.
Yes, Garner. Errol Garner.
He actually got to the tune quite quickly.
Yes,
there,
he did. Yes, that's right. Frank, which city gets a mention in this song title?
Either poor, or people, or Paris.
You're of.
I'm inclined...
the city of Oz.
Oz, yeah. I'm inclined to think Paris.
Yes, that's right. Composed by Marguerite Monet. Lady who wrote some quite good tunes, of which that was one.
Root of all evil.
Mm. Monet. No, it's the love of Marguerite Monet that's the root of all evil. Ian, John's record was by a jazz pianist who taunted his listeners with a teasing introduction to a popular tune. So is yours. Which pianist and which place?
Beginning to think in the early part of it, it was that if you go down in the woods tonight.
I don't think he knows it, actually.
No, he probably doesn't. The tune is Chicago, and once we get into the melody, it becomes pretty clear it's Oscar Peterson.
Oscar Peterson, yes. There were a couple of chords in the left hand there that only he could reach, I think. Yes, with enormous hands.
Wow.
Oscar Peterson, Chicago. Dennis, for you, a singer, one of the most beautiful women I've ever laid eyes on, though not everyone will find her voice beautiful. She's singing about a fine city, as Jeanette MacDonald and Tony Bennett found out before her. Who, Dennis, is the singer?
I'm always drunk in San Francisco. I always stay out of my mind. They say that things like this go on all the time.
Beautiful looking lady.
Is it the most beautiful singer that I know is Nancy Wilson?
It's Nancy Wilson.
But she hasn't got a very distinctive voice, has she? It could have been all sorts of other people.
Could have been Mary Montgomery
and
other people, that's right.
But she is smashing, actually. But I saw her recently in a television program. She's
looked marvellous for 20 years, that lady, yes, Nancy Wilson. May I quote to you a remark? The remark made by the composer Peter Maxwell Davis. He said, "Audiences must be made to work." I wonder if I might have your reactions to that. Audiences must be made to work. John, a quick reaction.
Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, but there are certain bits of music that... Well, certain books. I mean, could you get through the opening of Dr. Zhivago without a bit of hard work? Could you read James Joyce without a bit of hard work?
I think it's totally true as regards pleasure in entertainment. It's why radio is so often so much more satisfactory than television. Mm.
I agree with John. It has a sort of chilling sound about it. Neglects the fact that it is also a matter for musicians, actors, artists, singers, whatever, to entertain an audience. And I do think, however, that as far as opera... particularly in a language with which you're not familiar, that a bit of homework before you go can be very rewarding in the actual performance, if only that you know what it's about, and then you don't have to read those synopses of each act in the programme, which most of us, I think, just begin to read as the lights are going down. And by the time you've lost the thread of it in the first act, you really hardly bother to read it in the second, and you just sit back and maybe enjoy the music. I think to that extent,
yes,
a little bit of preliminary study is a good idea. But the idea that one should make people do that is quite abhorrent.
It's a very good point, that, about opera, though. I don't think Peter Maxwell Davis meant it too severely. Dennis, audiences must be made to work.
It was in one of George Orwell's essays. He says that all great works of art, by which he meant literature, are very slightly boring. I mean, which is quite true. If you think of Dickens or you think of Tolstoy, there are passages which you have to soldier through, and you get a reward for it. Also, taking up what Frank said, it's quite a common practice, actually. If an actor in films, if an actor doesn't register the right emotion with his face, when they come to edit the film, they will look at the moment just before the director says action, when the actor has a completely blank face, yes, and is waiting to register something, and they will use that expression and then let the audience impose what it will on that complete blank. And it works. I know a moment in Only Two Can Play where they did that, and it's absolutely one of the big laughs in the picture.
Yeah. While we're on the subject, could we have some volunteers from the audience to help us carry the chairs back to the cookhouse?
Well, back to music. Tonic solfar people would call these notes mi, mi, re, re, do. Let's check a few tunes that begin with those notes. John, from whose solemn mass, please?
Often sung that myself, and I know it's Panis Angelicus, but it says I sang, but I've no idea it came from a man.
From Messa Solennelle, Opus 12, but everybody knows it as Panis Angelicus, yes. Frank, I'll play yours on the piano. A title, please, and a guess, perhaps at the first date of publication. Anna, is it?
Quite early-ish, I'd say, this century. 1912.
Mm. You have the mark, of course, why not? But rather later than I expected, 1930.
Good Lord.
1930. Right.
Kill or...
Ian.
Tien.
Yeah. Ian, the same five starting notes, relatively speaking.
Friends who plough the sea, choose to navigation, try another station. When you think of it, that must be a rather dangerous moment in a television broadcast.
That's right, yes. Also known as Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here, of course, from the Pirates, the chorus, yes. Dennis, putting those notes from a major key into a minor key, we get this, sung by which young lady?
Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose, we'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way.
Mary Hopkin.
You remembered the name.
Without,
right,
yes.
Yes, one of the
Hopkins.
Yes, one of the earliest of the Apple records. Mary Hopkin, that's right. Two states and two counties make up the songs chosen for this final few minutes. Frank.
Mm-hmm.
from Alabama. Forget the glamour. Your eyes have a tender light. Star Helen, Alabama, last night. I never planned in my imagination a situation so heavenly. A fairyland where no one else could enter. And in the center, just you and me, dear. My heart beat like a hammer. My arms wound around your tongue. And stars fell on Alabama last night.
And talking of stars, John's turn.
Now.
Near the Banbridge town, in the county down, on a morning in July, on a boring green came a sweet Caroline, and she smiled as she passed me by. Oh, she looked so neat, with her two white feet, to the sheen of her nut brown hair. Such a coaxing and fine to shake myself to make sure I was really there. Oh, from Boundary Bay up to Derry Keek, and from Galway to Dublin town. Oh, maid, I've seen like the brown Carleen that I met in the county town. Oh, from Boundary Bay to Derry Keek, and from Galway to Dublin town. Oh, maid, I've seen like the brown Carleen that I met in the county down.
We've had Alabama and County Down. Still to come are Virginia and Devon. Virginia, Dennis.
Anybody who wants to join in won't be turned away. You can say. As lonesome as the lonesome pine, I would give my soul if I could but stroll where the flowers nod to you and the birds sing how do you do in that blue ridge round my heart. Virginia rings a song, and all day long I pine to see the time when your sunshine fills the sky, all my cares will say goodbye. But there's a blue ridge round my heart, Virginia, my heart. Got a bit cocky round the middle there, didn't I?
Yeah. It's the sort of song that makes you want to teach the world to sing, isn't it? And so to Devon. Glorious Devon.
Combe and tall green meadow and lane, birds on the waving bough, beetling cliffs by the surging main, ridge spread long for the plough. Devon's the fount of the bravest blood that braces England's breed. Her maidens fair as apple bud, and her men are men indeed. When Adam and Eve were dispossessed of the garden hard by heaven, they planted another one down in the west. T'was Devon, glorious Devon. Dorset, Somerset, Cornwall, Wales may envy the likes of we. For the flower of the west, the first, the best, the pick of the bunch us be. Squab pie, junket and cider brew, richest of cream from the cow. What an old England without them do, and where'd them be to now? the yeast Mother England do use for her bread. Be Devon, glorious Devon.
You wouldn't think he'd be a Scot, would you? Edward German's music, words by Harold Bolton. But I get the last word when Mary's done her sums to announce a victory this week. For nobody, it's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.